Move to the seventh case this morning, U.S. versus Valentino. Warren?
Deborah Borman, on behalf of appellant Anthony Valentino. I have 2 points today. First, Anthony Valentino was improperly joined in a single indictment with 2 other co-defendants where the government failed to allege any conspiracy, common plan, or scheme. This issue is reviewed by you, de novo. Second, Mr. Valentino was improperly denied severance at 2 points in the trial, prior to trial, and after co-defendant Cladivan was granted a mistrial. The prejudice resulting from failure to sever the trial was substantial and not harmless error. Turning to my first point, there was misjoinder in the indictment in this case. This is a case where the government threw together 3 defendants into 1 indictment and failed to allege a conspiracy. The theory that the government tried to argue was that this building tied these defendants together. Cladivan owned the building. Cladivan wanted to get a certificate of occupancy for the building so he could sell it quickly. He hired Roma Santa, who was a known bribe payer, to arrange for her to get some things done. However, there is no allegations that my client, Mr. Valentino, knew anything about these arrangements. He was merely contacted to expedite his job. From the record, this is the record, by the way, a couple of phone calls for Mr. Valentino and Roma Santa. Not sure which page it is, but she basically calls him up and says, I want to talk to you about this property, 2754 West Washington. And he says he's already got that assigned. So this was something that Mr. Valentino was already assigned to do, and he arranged to do this with her on an expedited basis to do his job, to do a zoning inspection. It had nothing to do with certificate of occupancy. He is not at all even able to do that. He was just a zoning inspector. But turning to the misjoinder aspect, what we have is this tenuous thread of a building that's tying together, supposedly, these 3 defendants. Why didn't the government charge conspiracy? This is a U.S. attorney that does not hesitate to charge conspiracy in alleged political corruption cases. There's a lot of that going on here. Why? Why was there no conspiracy? Because there was no connection. It was a very tenuous connection. Did these 3 people have a common goal? No. No. My client had the goal, according to the record, to make $500. That was his goal. He didn't know these people. He never met them. Prior to the trial, we didn't even know anything about what was going on between these people. They didn't meet until trial. So how can this be a joinder that's even possible for the indictment? Well, it was easy. But if it was proper to join everyone that Roma Santa was bribing, all $187,000 worth of bribes, why didn't the government join everybody all together? Why wasn't there one trial, one entirely huge trial of everyone who was corrupt? You have...
Wasn't this for the same project?
Well, it depends on what you would classify it as a project.
Well, I mean, this particular building or whatever it is.
He did inspect the Washington property for zoning, yes.
Okay. And that was what the other guy did too, right?
The other guy, Zeroli, who my client never met or had any relationship whatsoever, who worked in a different department, the building department or conservation, he also did an inspection, a separate inspection on the property, yes. So we have this as a joined together, three defendants who never met, never spoke, and had different ideas about what needed to get done. Perhaps Cladovan was in on a conspiracy with Roma Santa to get this done, and that might have been the conspiracy. But Roma Santa was not a defendant in this case. She wore a wire. She was a government informant. So that wasn't a conspiracy. That was an arrangement. So let's say he had a conspiracy. Where was Mr. Valentino's participation in the conspiracy? Let's look at the cases that are cited, all of the cases. We've got Schweiz. No severance granted there, but it was a conspiracy case. Velasquez, that sets up our test. The test for misjoinder is what the indictment charges, not what the evidence shows. So later in trial, maybe the government could show, okay, there's a building, this person looked at it, that person looked at it. Still, they never met. But that's not the test. The test is before the trial. It's what the indictment shows. And the indictment shows three different people with three different motivations. That's not a common goal. That's not a conspiracy. Why didn't they charge the conspiracy? Because they couldn't. They got to go forward. The judge made an error in letting it go together based on the single thread of the building. And I want to call your attention to page 18 of the U.S. Attorney's brief. The face of the indictment clearly establishes that they engage in acts of bribery. Well, it doesn't, but that's not all. It says it created a common goal, making money by circumventing Chicago zoning laws. Well, if a common goal is to make money by circumventing the Chicago zoning laws, then I think we need to take everyone who wants to do that over to Wrigley Field and put seats on the floor like they did for Paul McCartney the other night and just try everybody at the same time en masse, because that's what this is saying. If you want to circumvent zoning laws, we can try you all together. And that was what was going on here.
So this wasn't very complicated, though. I mean, I can understand where, and frankly, with the mistrial in the middle, that probably complicates, and I know you're going to get to that.
I'm going to. But would you like me to get to
that? Yeah, why don't you do that?
Okay. I'm going to get to that now. So then we have these tenuously connected three individuals that are pulled together by this building, and we get three quarters of the way through the trial, and the owner of the building is dismissed. The U.S. attorney makes a mistake. 404B evidence that was excluded was not allowed in. It is elicited that Mr. Cladovan had some prior bribe-making, taking arrangements with Roma Santa, and that was an error, and he was dismissed from the case. So trial counsel moved at that point for a mistrial for my client instead, and that was denied. Now what do you have? Now the error of the misjoinder is amplified. We shouldn't have been together in the first place. And now the main reason, the whole thing that pulls it together, the building and the man who owns it are out. They're out. So what do we do? Well, probably we should have granted a mistrial and let this case go forward on its own. I bring the record that the U.S. attorney gracefully provided to us that I was going to show you in terms of the imbalance of evidence. These are the transcripts. It's about 3/4 of an inch of all of the conversations between Cladovan and Roma Santa and Zeroli and Roma Santa. This is the transcript. It's about 1/8 of an inch between Valentino, my client, and Roma Santa. There is 6 times the evidence against Cladovan and Zeroli in recorded phone conversations.
I guess it depends what was in the transcript, though, not how thick it was, right?
It does depend on what's in the transcript. What we have in the transcript of Valentino's conversations is essentially, I've got this assignment already. Oh, good. You've got the assignment. Well, can you do it faster? I'll give you $500. Sure. That's what we have.
And that's why the evidence of past transactions was admitted, right?
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Those that he didn't need a big explanation of what's going on.
He didn't, but it still doesn't show any common plan. It still doesn't show that he should have been tried together with these other people. And the limiting instructions that were given, oh, separate this out. Well, six times the amount of information about other people giving and taking bribes or making arrangements. And yes, guilt, but maybe not the level of guilt, and especially not at the level of a conspiracy or a common plan. I see my time is up.
Thank you, Counselor.
Also appointed, by the way. Last four have all been appointed.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. I'm Christopher Grohman on behalf of the United States, and I, too, am here to talk about joinder. In this case, the face of the indictment adequately alleged a common plan or scheme. Counsel talks about conspiracy, and she talks about a common goal. It's not the test. The test is common plan or scheme. And in this case, it was a common bribery scheme. It all involved the same certificate of occupancy, and that certificate of occupancy all applied to the same property, this Washington property. The bribes were all paid through this same middlewoman named Roman Santa, and the bribes all occurred over the same time period. A very simple, short bribery scheme, not a conspiracy, that we had to charge, rather a very simple, straightforward bribery scheme relating to the same document on the same property. And for that reason, Judge Pallmeyer was correct in finding that these three defendants were joined properly in the indictment. And even if they were misjoined, there is just no prejudice to defendant here. Any error was harmless. First of all, the evidence was just overwhelming. As Your Honor pointed out, the recordings are quite incriminating. Four phone calls where she tells him to speed it up in exchange for money. That's a bribe. If you take money to do your job faster or skip the line, or that is a bribe that he's not allowed to take. Second, he was caught on surveillance taking this cash in an envelope, $500 at a Dunkin' Donuts. That's very, very strong evidence. Counsel pointed out that this other evidence was six times as much. The vast majority of that evidence would have been admissible against Defendant Valentino at a separate trial. The recordings pertaining to the informant and Defendant Clotavan would have been admissible at Defendant Valentino's separate trial as co-conspirator statements under Santiago. In this case, they were admitted after a Santiago proffer. They were admitted without limitation, and then when they were admitted at trial, they were not objected to. So there is no prejudice. The only evidence that would not have been admissible at a separate trial would have been the evidence concerning Defendant Zeroli, the recordings of him and the 404B evidence related to him. And to the extent that that had any effect at all, the district court repeatedly gave these standard Seventh Circuit-approved limiting instructions, and then even in complex cases, which this was not, the jury is presumed to be able to follow the court's limiting instructions, and there's no evidence in this case that they did not. With respect to the mistrial, again, there is no evidence that Defendant Clotavan's absence at all prejudiced the defendant. The district court gave another limiting instruction once he left, and the evidence that was offered against Defendant Clotavan in terms of the recordings, again, that evidence would have been admissible against Defendant Valentino at a separate trial. So he cannot show prejudice. There are no questions. I will rest on my argument in the briefs.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. Ms. Borman, you took this case by appointment, did you? You have the thanks of the court for vigorously representing your client in this matter. Thank you. We'll move to the seventh.